Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Do you feel sick?
No, I don't. I don't feel sick. I feel all right. Didn't eat any Easter eggs. I didn't get a look in, if I'm honest.
All about the kids, isn't it? It's just from start to finish. It's just how many Easter eggs they can either find or consume or sit on.
I know, exactly. And then even today I came down and Gigi's like, I want an egg for breakfast. And I was like, yes. What do you mean? What kind of egg? And she's like going to find the dairy milk eggs.
Chocolate eggs.
And then I'm like, oh God, now I need to explain to her that it's not Easter every day. And just because I let you do that yesterday, it doesn't mean I'm going to let you do it today. Anyway, yes. There we go. That's where we're at. I'm going to try and hide them all today. So
I got into like strict mum mode about kind of just after lunch yesterday, where I was like, right, that's it. No more chocolate. And I was like, that's enough. You've had enough. Because it was sort of turning them slightly bonkers, you know, yeah. Like they were fine for a bit, really, really excited. And then the crashes were happening and the whinging was starting. And I just thought, no, sod this. I mean, no. I know it's a lovely, lovely day to celebrate, but also just... I'm sure lots of parents have been through it this weekend where they've had moments where their kids have been booting off purely because of the chocolate sugar crash.
Yeah, and also just because like if they're not used to having loads and loads of chocolate all the time, it does send you loopy. It's almost like addictive, yeah. Isn't it?
Totally. I've got to be honest with you, the first thing I did do this morning was reach for a tiny little chocolate lint egg and I was like, no, I can't.
I like the mini eggs. But I'm trying to not go down that path because there's too many around. I'll be eating them for months. I'm not going to do it.
Stay off that path, George. Stay off that path. Some people like the hardcore drugs.
Yeah, I'm on the straight and narrow from the mini eggs.
Well, we really hope you guys listening had an amazing Easter as well. We want to get into the chat fairly quickly today because it's such a beautiful conversation and a conversation that we actually didn't expect
yes.
to go kind of down that route, did we? Like, I had no idea we'd be speaking to this person about this specific subject.
No, and it's actually, you know, a really timely subject for me because Axel's been getting some invitations to parties recently and they've been like Super Mario, Sonic, like all of that kind of stuff. And I suddenly like, oh, wow, are we here already? Like, I didn't realise, yeah. But actually most of the kids in his class, in his year, are playing like Mario Kart and they've got Nintendo Switches or they've got PlayStations or whatever it is. And I realised that he's, you know, I guess the odd one out at the moment. He's one of the only kids really that's not got like a Nintendo Switch or like a PlayStation or whatever. And he hasn't asked us yet, but we definitely hadn't had that like pre-conversation. You know, like if James had been collared by Axel by himself one day and said, oh, you know, for my birthday, I want this. We haven't had the discussion like where we're both at. So one of us could have slipped and been like, yeah, yeah, okay, you can have that. Do you know what I mean? Without talking to the other one and just get, yeah, anyway, I'm glad we've had this conversation now because I feel a bit more prepared.
And we're exactly the same, RN, because technology, gaming, phones, I just want to put it off for as long as possible without completely keeping them in the dark. I also don't want my, you know, 7-8-year-old daughter to have a telephone. Like when we spoke to Paula Radcliffe, she was amazing because she was like, we've got a tracking watch. We actually talked about this in the chat and maybe that's the way to do it. But yeah, anyway, look, let's get into it today because brilliant conversation. We can't wait for you to hear it. Who are we talking to today, George?
Today, we are chatting to actress Natalie Anderson.
So very exciting chat today. We've just been talking to her for about probably 10 minutes before this. And Georgia and I already feel like we know this woman. So I think it's going to be an amazing conversation. We have grown up watching her for a very long time. She's been on our screens, an incredible actress, a mum to Freddie. She's currently starring in Hollyoaks. Please welcome Natalie Anderson to the podcast.
Oh, yay. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. Oh,
how are you?
I'm good. I'm with you guys, though. I'm the juggler. I'm literally like juggling everything at the minute, and I just know that you guys feel that pain too. And so, yeah, I feel like I'm amongst friends.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. We understand it. We definitely get it. Talk us through your schedule. Is it a little bit mad at the moment?
It is, and I've been working on another project as well, which I'm not allowed to kind of say what it is just yet. But it's a lovely project. So I've been doing that, filming that, and Hollyoaks at the same time, and then running a business. And you know, I've got Fred, obviously. And when you're trying to schlep around the country on trains and whatnot else, and you're tired, and you know when you're sitting on a train and it's 4 hours, you're kind of going, I'm so tired. Yeah. And even though you're not moving.
I normally just go to sleep in those moments. Georgia and I, if we're ever sitting down for 4 hours, it's all about the snooze.
But I always feel guilty if I do that. You know, like if I have a train journey and it's 4 hours, if I'm sitting reading a magazine, I feel like, oh my God, I'm wasting these 4 hours. I could be sending emails. I could be doing this. And it's so annoying. I should just sit and read a magazine. Do you do that?
And have a glass of wine.
To be honest, I don't read a magazine. I am normally, if I'm brutally honest, doing some work, but it's just the sitting, it's just the being in the one place for that amount of time. And especially if it's a late night train, you're kind of going, oh God, you just feel exhausted because you're not moving about. So I do tend to be doing work more than anything. But it's sneakily sometimes if it's a late night train and I've wrapped, I will have a little glass of wine.
Oh, yeah.
That's my treat to myself.
Absolutely.
Talking of your late night filming, if you've wrapped, what is it like being on Hollyoaks? Because this is a show that pretty much everybody I know watched growing up. I mean, it really was of our time, of our generation, tackling some really incredible subjects.
It's brilliant. You know, it's such an amazing atmosphere. It's different because different to Emmerdale, which is where I spent a long time. And it's a very different beast kind of thing. And what I love about Hollyoaks is the youthfulness of it, the energy, because there's so many young actors. You kind of get brought into their enthusiasm and, you know, there's just this passion and, yeah, very youthful energy that you get sucked into, which is lovely to be around. And it's really nice to chat to a lot of the younger actors as well about like their careers, you know, what they want to do. And I feel half the time that I'm a bit like a mentor. I'm like, well, you don't want to be doing this and you should make this. But like, I go into mum zone and the girl that plays my daughter, Ellie, who is I love to death, she's like, you're such a mum. You're always mummying everybody. And even when we're on set, I'll take stuff off her and I'll put it in my like costume handbag. And she'll be like, oh, have you got my phone? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's in here. But I love it. And as you say, you know, they tackle some amazing storylines and some of the stuff that's coming up is incredible and really just fantastic. And you just become very passionate about the show, I think, you know, when you're in it and you understand the mechanics of it, it allows you to be even more passionate when you're kind of part of it.
Yeah. And do you let Freddie watch you?
It's really funny this, because when we sit down for our tea, if I'm at home, it's about that time.
Yeah.
And so it would be on anyway, kind of in the background. And when I'm on screen, he's like, that's weird. It's weird. You're on the telly. It's weird. And there was one scene where I was crying in a hospital and he got a little bit choked up. And I was like, darling, I'm right next to you. And he was like, yeah, but I don't like to see you cry, mummy. And I was like, oh, bless him.
Does he understand what you do then? I mean, he's 10, right? So he must have kind of his whole life, he's known you to be on telly.
Pretty much, yeah. And he does understand it. And he did some bits with me on This Morning, actually, a couple of weeks ago. So you really got to see like all, you know, the behind the scenes, having a sound man, you know, cameras, lighting, all of that stuff. And he's really interested in it, actually. He's really, really interested in television, and I suppose most kids want to be YouTubers, which is basically what I would think is a TV presenter, is especially for kids, like more like a kids TV presenter, I think is what he wants to do. So for him to see it and the mechanics of it, he's really interested and he does get it.
Wow.
He should team up with Isla.
Right, no, so it's just
he wants to be a YouTuber, the kids TV presenter together. As well. Two of them together would be amazing.
You mentioned the whole YouTube thing, and obviously Fred's older than our kids are. is something we talk about all the time. How do you deal with social media and tech in your house?
Oh, I hate it so much. Honestly, if I could take it away, I would do. But it's so hard because it's the way kids now communicate with each other. You know, whether it's on their gaming apps, they can talk to each other, they can message, and it's really difficult. I mean, Fred does have certain apps, like he's got TikTok, but it's private, completely private. And I have it on family pairing as well, which is something I would absolutely suggest to everybody, because you can set a time limit for how long the kids are on it, and that you have to put in a passcode to allow them extra time, right. and all of the stuff like the privacy settings, like nobody can direct message Fred, nobody can comment on his videos, nobody can tag him. And he's always like, that's really mean, Mom. I said, yeah, but darling, you like it for doing the dances and all that stuff, the fun stuff, and making like little cool videos. I said, the social side of it, you're not mature enough for yet. You don't need to be worrying what somebody's emoji meant, you know. And no. That's the thing is, right at the start, I didn't know about all those settings. And so I kind of left it as it was and kept it private as a private account. But then when I could see things and he was worrying, I was like, you're 9 years old. You don't need to be worrying about this. So I just completely set as many settings on it as I possibly could do, yeah. whilst still allowing him to be kind of part of the group. Because that's the thing is, if he's the odd one out and he was the only one that didn't have it, which is what it was at one point, and I was, you know, the big bad mum that didn't let him have it, he was getting left out of conversations at school, and he, you know, he wasn't part of the group at school, and he couldn't fit in with it. And that's just as damaging, if that makes any sense. So I've had to kind of find a balance, and just as many privacy settings as you can find, set them.
Exactly. Click those ones on. I think there's two points really to this chat, and I think I would really like to have both conversations with you. And the first one, let's go down the route of, I guess, safety online, because that's one thing that haunts me. You know, you don't know those conversations, who's direct messaging them, even with the gaming they're playing.
This was going to say, there's
gaming apps that they can communicate, next minute somebody's grooming them, you know, it's life over really, right? So I guess, first off, what are your thoughts behind that? How do you protect it? And do you have those conversations with Freddie about the dangers?
100%. And I have done since he was very little. It's really good because the schools now do support this. And we get an online safety newsletter every week of different apps that are being used, ones that have been, possibly hacked into, grooming stuff. So we get loads of information from school, which is great. You know, they'll say, you need to look out for this. Some of the kids may well have gone onto this website or whatever, and you think it's nothing, and you go into it and go, oh my god, right, how did they download that? Because their kids are clever. They're even if you think you've set everything, they're kids, and they're going to try and find sneaky ways around things. So I have really honest chats with Fred, and I've said to him, you know, for me to trust you, you've got to let me see everything. I have to be able to see, you know, who you're playing with, who these people are. You have to let me vet some stuff. And obviously, because he wants to play the game, he's like, yep, there you go. There's my Switch, or you can come, this is my PS5, come and see it. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, I've had to take his phone off him. He had a phone to basically like WhatsApp his Nana and stuff. But again, I found that he put other kids' numbers in it, and I was like, no, this is not what this was for, so you're gonna have to give me that back now. And I said, you know, you broke my trust. And he was like, oh mummy, it was nothing. I said, yeah, but we had an agreement, and if you break that, then I can't trust you to do that, and that you're mature enough. So I think it is having those really open, honest conversations.
Yeah. What sort of age did you start having those conversations? Because Axel, my son's turning 6 in August, and quite a few of his friends have got those Nintendo Switches, and a few of them are playing Mario Kart or whatever it is. And he comes home, and I do feel sometimes like a bit bad that he doesn't really know what it is, and he kind of asks me. But I equally don't know if I'm ready to take the leap and actually explain it to him yet.
Sorry, George, to explain what gaming is to him.
Yeah, like I don't, because I think once you go into that, it's I see it. Like, I speak to the other parents. It's all consuming. They don't want to go outside anymore. They don't want to go and run around. They'd rather just sit in their room or just sit downstairs and be, you know, with their games. And that's what I don't think I'm ready for.
No way.
I really don't think I'm ready for that yet. But equally, when you've got friends at school, that's what they're doing. It's hard to manage it.
They can go and play around at their mates' houses, though. That's where my head is at. Like, I'm quite happy to take the hit for being the stern mother, the strict mother. But, like, categorically, I mean, come back to me in 5 years' time. But absolutely, that's kind of where my head is at, because we've noticed such a behavioural issue with the kids. The minute they start playing Subway Surfer or they're on their iPads for even half an hour, they turn into absolute monsters. It might just be my kids, but they really wires them in a really wonky way.
It is a problem, and a massive problem. And I think, the longer you can hold out, the better. Again, I started having those conversations with Fred when he was about six. I think Fred was about six, nearly seven, when he got his Switch. And a mum said to me at school, she was like, whatever you do, try really hard just to hold out as long as you can. And I kind of gave in a bit, because I wish I'd have held out longer. Because now, as you say, getting him to do other stuff it's difficult, because they actually get addicted to it, and they, you know, and his behaviour's changed. And, you know, the lockdown didn't help, because he got his Switch right at the time, just before we went into lockdown, you know, that kind of age. And when the kids couldn't go out and see each other, and Fred's an only child as well. I mean, Freddie went 5 months without seeing another kid during lockdown, the first one. God. And the only way he could communicate was with his friends kind of online, and they used to have their headsets so they can physically speak to each other. And I had to give in at that point, because it was just like he's just not, being around just two adults constantly and not getting any kid talk or, you know, that interaction was as equally as damaging. So I think we didn't have that on our side, but if you can hold out, I definitely would. And unfortunately though, as they get older, you can't control what's going on in the rest of the class. And then when it becomes to the point where it's only your kid that doesn't have stuff and they are getting left out at school, that's when it gets tough. And you have to be, as you said then, you know, you do have to be strict and stern, but equally there's got to be some give. Because otherwise they get excluded in other ways from social groups.
And I guess as well, like, it's what they're interested in. So, you know, if they were interested in something else, you might not hold them back from it. But because it's this and it's new to us, you know, I didn't play any games, or I wasn't a gamer when I was a kid.
What? Of course you were.
We don't understand it in the same way that they do. I guess it's difficult, isn't it? Because we look at it as like a really bad thing at the moment. But like you say, actually, it was the only way that he could interact during lockdown with other kids. It's what they talk about at school.
Did you not have a Game Boy, George?
No. I had a PlayStation. I had a Spice Girls game on PlayStation. That was it.
Oh, my Game Boy and Tetris and all that lot.
Did you?
Yeah, loved it. I got really into it. Did you, Natalie?
I did, definitely, yeah. And I used to get myself a little bit addicted. I had like all the Marios and the Nintendos and stuff. And I remember my mum turning the game off, and I just completed a level and I was fuming with her. And so I do understand that feeling of when the kids feel like they've achieved something. And, you know, in their little world, when they've achieved something on that game, for us, like, I'll go, no, I'm turning it off. And he's like, I've worked so hard. Like, I've spent all day trying to get to this level and you've just ruined it. And I do feel bad then. But then at the same time, I'm like, it's just a game. Yeah. You know, and you have to kind of, again, not give in to those little emotional blackmailing that they do sometimes on you, which is kind of, oh, please, I've tried so hard and all this. And you think, no, I can't give in. I've got to stay being strict. I've got to keep to my rules. It's hard though.
Do you set any time limits on his playing?
Yeah, we have time limits on stuff. So like, you can only have like maybe an hour or so, and then, you know, it has to come off. We definitely, during the school holidays, we have to make sure there's breaks 100%, because you do realise like some kids are on there all day, like literally all day. And you have to kind of say, right, it's like making a bargain almost, you know, right, you can go on for an hour, but when that's complete, you have to then go outside. We're going to go for a walk. We're going to do this to keep the balance. Because if I left him, he would literally be on it all day and he would just stay doing it. I have to kind of often go in and say, right, come on, that's enough. Or his dad, you know, is like, that's done. He won't voluntarily come off.
No.
And it's that addiction side of things.
We're the same with our phones. You know, we complain that we have no time. We've got no time to do anything. And then you look at your like screen time report and you're like, oh, but I had time to spend 6 hours on my phone.
It's massive, isn't it?
Isn't it? So you can see how they get addicted like that.
Well,
you
this
can.
Sounds like a headline from like one of those sort of like women's magazines, like gaming ruined my relationship. But that is my reality. I was dating someone in my 20s. We became so addicted to Call of Duty. This is not a joke, by the way.
Oh my gosh, yes.
We basically would choose to game until like 3 o'clock in the morning. We had like gaming.
Would.
Oh, guys, I fully.
She's a perfect gamer.
Look at
a headset. I was chatting to kids in China. It's the funniest. We would look at each other and go, should we go to bed and have sex or should we just play another game of Call of Duty? And it would always be Call of Duty. Oh. Eventually we were like, we haven't had sex for 4 months. This relationship's fucked.
Do you know what, James? When I first moved in with James, he had a PlayStation and I think we were 20, something like that. And I said to him, like, once this is gone, once this PlayStation is done, that's it. Like, no more. Like, you're not buying anymore. You're not going into your 20s. So every night, I used to give it a little kick before I went to bed. Like, every single night, I'd give it a little kick, give it a little kick. And eventually, it died.
And you killed it. It did just die.
He's actually stuck to it and has never gone back, like, gone back to FIFA or Call of Duty or anything like that again. And I think secretly he sees Axel now and he thinks, oh, that's my way back in. That's it. There it is.
Yeah, well, don't let that happen because once you lose the two of them, like I've got a friend who, you know, the husband and the child are constantly gaming. And I'm lucky because my husband, James, isn't really into it at all. He's kind of like, he'll play now and again if Fred asks him to, but it's not his thing. Whereas the others, they are just together. And she's like, well, hello, I am here. I do exist.
Yeah, it's really, there's a fine line because we're talking about the negative side of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're focusing on that because, you know, we all want our kids to be, you know, in an ideal world, kind of bounding outside in the
through
sunshine,
through
the fields, on their bikes, just playing around and stuff. But obviously now, as a gamer, you can earn seriously good money and it's a profession. And obviously the whole computers and iPads and tech world isn't what it was when we were growing up, when we were kids. So there are obviously positive sides to it. You can't shut them out from it forever.
No, and there's a film, so Free Guy, which is a Ryan Reynolds film.
Yes.
I watched with Freddie. We watched it as a family. And it really opened my eyes to what Freddie's world was. I said, oh my God, this is like being in your head, isn't it? I said, you know, all these different people and the server that you've created. And he was like, yeah, Mum, this is what I've been trying to tell you. Like, this is what we do. And there was an innocence to it that I thought, oh, it's not all bad and everyone's out to get him. And, you know, he's susceptible to this, that and the other. You know, obviously I'm kind of the paranoid mum, but there is a nicer side to it, which is interesting and it's clever and his vocabulary is, you know, developed and just him being committed to something. He's like, you know, in Minecraft, he's built these incredible worlds with blocks and, you know, this one that looked like a full McDonald's building that he said, look what I've built. And I was like, wow, oh my God, you've built that. He's like, yeah, it's taken me weeks. So that commitment side of things and that, artistry of it, there is some positives to it as well.
And I guess things like problem solving, like quick thinking, all of that kind of stuff. Like one of my friend's sons is similar age to Fred and he's got like almost like a trader's setup in his bedroom, like four screens. And I walked in, I was like, oh my gosh. But he can concentrate on all of those things and, you know, and navigate them all. I wouldn't be able to do that.
No way.
It is quite impressive. It's just, I guess it's just finding that line, isn't it? And that balance.
It is. It's definitely the balance. It's hard. And, you know, and we've said as well, as Freddie starts to get older, you know, his after school activities now, we've talked to him about this. And I said, you know, you've got to have other hobbies. So, you know, you really think about it. And he's chosen, you know, football. So it's like football after school club. And there's a club near us that are recruiting for the juniors. And I said, right, okay, well, let's look at that then to try and balance it out so that as well, yes, he's got this side of it that he's really interested in, and he's actually really good at as well, to be fair. He's really good at it. But equally, the fitness side of things as well, you know, the activity and making sure that he gets that physical activity and has a different social group in with his football. So I think, again, it's talking to kids and explaining things and saying, okay, well, you can do a bit of this, but it has to be balanced, and you now need to do a bit of this for that give and take, I think, too. Yeah.
Sounds like you've got the balance right there, Natalie, actually.
Well, I'm trying. Like it's really hard, though. And like I was just saying to Gigi before, I was kind of like, I wanted to talk about this because I know I felt very frustrated and very alone and thinking, it's just my kid. It must just be my kid that's like this, that just wants to game all the time. And what have I done wrong? Am I doing something wrong? And then I've spoken to other people and they've gone, no, my son's the same. And my son's the same. And oh my God, it's awful. And I just think the more kind of you share that, the more people, anyone that's listening might go, oh God, it's not just me. You know, it's not my kid that's just like wants to do it all the time.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
You sort of pointed out about the socialising aspect of it. And I guess, are we going to lose the art of building relationships face to face? Like, obviously, online dating is huge and people tend to meet online now rather than face to face. And then our kids are then socialising in a digital world when they get back from school rather than maybe seeing each other or picking up the phone and actually having a conversation. It's a lot.
Yeah, it is. I do think that there is probably an element of that, you know, and that's the other thing as well with the technology is it's the sexualization of children as well, which is just technology is absolutely advancing that so much. And I had a guest on my podcast that was telling me about this. She's a child psychologist, and she'd said that actually it's having such an impact that kids are developing quicker. Like, so 9-year-old girls especially are developing much quicker because their brains have been going so fast, like with technology and what they're seeing, that they are physically, so this generation of kids are developing quicker. Which is terrifying.
This is so interesting that you say this, because I have a stepdaughter, my lovely stepdaughter Isla, who's about to turn 9. And the other day she said to me, she was, you know, our little ones were in the bath, she was like, I'm getting in the shower, and she was like, oh, I can smell onions. And I was like, onions? I was like, I haven't had any onions. And she was like, oh, I think it's my armpit smell like onions. And I was like, let me smell. I got my nose right in there, and I was like, let me have a smell. And I was like, wow, yeah. And she's not even 9 yet. And I thought that can't be happening this early, but yeah. And she's been through a lot emotionally and things, you know, she's quite advanced for her years. So it kind of made sense, actually, hormones coming in a bit earlier. Interesting.
It definitely is. And that's the thing, you know, we're seeing it now with especially the girls in Fred's class. You know, they're quite forward. And he's got another little friend who's 9 as well. And she's about to turn 10. And just the difference. And I know girls kind of do tend to develop quicker anyway. But I was shocked because I was like, but they're 9. You know, so you expect that probably 11 and 12 maybe. But 9 still for me feels like they're babies.
What
you know
sort of
what I mean?
Things are coming up just there, but like, developments in their bodies.
Developments in their bodies. So like, you know, they're getting little boobs and things and just what they're interested in, the things that they're saying. I mean, the whole pouting into the phone thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, even sending pictures to each other like that. And you're kind of going, don't be putting that on the internet. Get that off. You know, don't send it.
Have they got phones? I don't know, because
all the kids have got phones.
Well, at 9?
9 years old, yeah. And they take them to school and the teachers will, 9 times out of 10, take them off them. They're not allowed to have them during school. And it's because, I suppose, some kids, they're at that age, 9 turning 10, where they're walking home from school.
Yeah.
You know, if they live so close to the school, so they've got a phone for that, or they've got an after school club and their mums and dads will be like, okay, well, we're picking you up at this time, or meet me at the gate. But again, because they've got that phone, they're clever and they can go, oh yeah, well, I know how to do this and I'll download that. So this is why for me, I check everything.
Yeah, you go through everything with a fine tooth comb.
Paula
Radcliffe came on the podcast and she was talking about the fact that she's got a 10-year-old son and she said, I didn't want to give him a phone, so I've got him a watch.
Yes.
He can send voice notes or messages to it and he can receive and he can make calls, I think, on it. He's got a tracker so she can see where he is. And if he stood still, George, for a bit and didn't move, or if he moved areas, I can't remember.
Yeah, if he moves areas, she gets alerted, or if he goes out of like a certain boundary, she'll be alerted.
She can call him and be like, I know where you are.
I need one of these.
But this is like a good thing about technology, I guess. And Axel went on a school trip recently to the Tower of London, and one of the mums in the class seemed to know how far they were, like on the coach. So they're like, oh, you know, they no, don't go to school yet. They're probably going to be another 10 or 15 minutes. I'm thinking, how do you know this? She's a tracker in his pocket. She'd that's sewn cool. it into his school trousers. And at first I was a bit like, whoa, that's a lot. And then I thought, no, actually, that really makes sense. You know, especially if you're going to like Legoland or Disneyland or anywhere like that. It's actually brilliant. And it was in his trousers. He wouldn't have even known it was there. Right. And so she could just keep an eye on where he was.
I think that's quite a good idea. I mean, part of me is like, oh no, that's terrible. But then this other side of me is like, yes, that's excellent.
But I mean, do you think when they're like 16, 17, 18, we're going to have to like microchip them?
Maybe.
I know where you are.
Yeah, I tried to teach Freddie, like when we go away anywhere, I'm always like, right, look for the direction, look at the board. This is the train that you need to catch. Da, da, da. So I'm always trying to instruct him about traveling, because again, I do want him to travel when he's older. But at the same time, I know it's going to give me like the absolute, I won't sleep at all for months on end, probably, if he goes on a gap year or something. So I'm always trying to say to him, right, okay, so at the airport now, what would you do next? Where would you go? What would you do? And I think as well, we've watched Home Alone 2 that many times, you know, when he gets lost in the airport, I'm thinking, I just want to know that he'd know what to do just in case. But a tracker is even better. I think that's going to be the way forward.
Yeah. Right. I was told that you should write the number, your number on your kid's arm. So if we go to Chessington, we always write our telephone number on Luna and Kit's arms if they ever get lost or anything, which is quite a nice idea. So they can just go.
That's really,
yeah, that's good.
If it's done in marker, it's not in biro, so it smudges off. Like, I've got half the number here. I haven't got the full number. Yeah, so that's quite a good idea.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that's a great idea. Oh, I wish I'd have heard that before.
So moving away from Freddie's kind of online presence to yours, and we wanted to have a chat with you today about sort of social media and how you kind of handle it. You've grown up on television, so you've always been in the limelight, you know, in Emmerdale before Hollyoaks, and obviously loads of other things in between. So I guess how do you deal with any comments, any remarks, and do you feel you have to hold stuff back, or are you quite open on social media?
I would say I see social media as kind of an extension of my business. And so for me, I wouldn't think like I'm an oversharer, but then I'm not like that in life either. So, you know, I could only tell my really best girlfriend certain things. I mean, you know, obviously parenting stuff, it's like, yes, let's chat it all out kind of thing. But when it's something to do with maybe how I'm feeling or whatnot else, I tend to keep that reserved for family and friends rather than putting stuff out kind of continuously, but it being an open window to my life. Because I also think as well that when you do have something important to say, whether it's about mental health or something, for me, I think, if you know, it makes more of a point for me then. Like, I talked once on my social media about the fact that I was struggling massively with anxiety, and I tend to be quite a sunny person naturally. You know, that's kind of how I am. But I do suffer with my anxiety too. And so on this particular post, I just put a different kind of picture and quite a lengthy post about it, mm-hmm. about my experience. Because I just kind of think, yeah, it landed a bit better, I suppose, because I really had a point with it. You know, I wasn't being moany, and not that there is anything wrong with that at all, because people use it for different reasons. But for me personally, I think that I like to kind of have it as a bit more of just an extension of work, really. Yes. You know, kind of fashion stuff that I love, and you know, helpful tips, maybe like things I might have read, or you know, sometimes there might be a nice family picture or work, but it tends to normally be for me more work stuff, because I also think when you do put yourself out there, you've got to have a thick skin to take, you know, the negative side of it. And I don't think I do necessarily, because I do get quite bad anxiety. I would be worrying constantly, yes. all the time, of going, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Oh my God, they're going to think this, da, 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 da. But because it's work and people see me in that capacity anyway, that's kind of the way I deal with it.
Yeah, almost like protecting your personal life. And I guess as well, like when you become a parent, there's so many opinions. And even if you're not online and you're not in the public eye, if you're in a cafe, there's opinions everywhere. Have you felt the sort of need to show the highs and the lows of parenting so that people get a full picture?
Yeah, I think, yeah, when Freddie was a bit younger and I used to post more pictures of him, I think you go through that phase, don't you, when you've got your kids are young and you're like just going through that journey, I suppose. Yeah. You're like, oh my God, look, they've done this and they've done that and this, da, da, da. And you can't help that, because you kind of just want to go, oh look, they did a drawing and it was amazing and all of that stuff. But equally, you know, I've had pictures where Fred's put stuff on the walls, or you know, and he's drawn on stuff and you're like, it's not perfect, it's really hard, you know. And you have to be honest in that capacity. Or even if I've not put the picture, I probably would have put something and then talked about it in the, you know, in the post itself, and said how hard it was, because it is tough. It's so difficult, and none of us really know what we're doing. And you know, technology, as we've said, is kind of changing things so rapidly that you're trying to keep up, and you're going, you want to pull your hair out, you know. And us, our generation of mothers, probably the hardest for us, because the world is so fast now. And I think, yeah, you do have to be quite real in that sense, you know, when you're talking about stuff. I think I tend to be a bit realer, I suppose, in the comment section bit, yes. about what's going on, as opposed to the picture.
So a little bit more transparency across all of it, which is important. And then, you know, in your parenting journey, aside from the sort of tech and the gaming and stuff, which are the parts that you've really embraced and really loved? And what are the parts that you've been slumped on the bathroom floor crying about?
Oh, do you know what? I'll probably cry. I cry all the time now. You see, I'm so soft. Like, just being a mum is like the greatest thing for me personally, in terms of what I get back from Fred and our relationship. However, in that, there's the challenges that are just so hard, you know. And as your child's developing and they're getting their own character, that leaves me sometimes crying my eyes out, because I love him so much and, you know, want to do everything to protect him, but he's turning into his own little person now, and his thoughts are really important. And he's like, you've done this and you said you were doing this and it didn't happen, and you know, and you feel like you've let them down or something. They're the times that I just walk away and I end up crying my eyes out, and I'm just going, I don't know what to do. How can I make it better? And have I damaged him? I'm sure I'm damaging him. You know, when you just, like, you might have had a big row or something, and I'll walk away and cry my eyes out and go, I think I've damaged him. I think I said the wrong thing. And that's the bit that I'm finding now in the journey that I'm in with Fred, the hardest. And you know, it's like when they're babies, you kind of, they do everything pretty much that, you know, you put them to sleep and they'll go to sleep most of the time. But when they're older, this bit I think is so tough now. But yeah, I do love being Fred's mum, honest to God. I love it so much. Aww. And I know every mum probably thinks like that, but just the stuff that we do together and our relationship. And he once said to me, he turned around and was like, you're my best friend, you know.
Oh,
you're my
best friend. That's what we all want.
That's what we want, yeah.
Really? He was like, yeah. And he said, on the train, on the way back from this stuff that we were doing for this morning, he was sat on the train and he was just smiling. And I went, what's the matter with you? And he said, out of all the millions of people in all of this world, I got to have you as my mum. And I was like, oh my God, what do you mean? He went, because you're the bestest. He's like, and you're just the best mum. And I, again, look, I'll probably cry. And I was like, properly bawling on the train going, that's the loveliest thing you've ever said.
Oh, Natalie, that's lovely. Isn't it lovely to hear it? Isn't it? Because like you said, a lot of the time, you're not sure, you know, if you're getting it right, you feel self-doubt, self kind of lack of confidence.
Yeah.
You know, is the relationship going to be? And then when they say stuff like that to you, you're like, no, actually, hang on. I'm actually doing quite a good job here.
Because
no
right.
one's there to pat you on the back, are they? No one's going, here's a medal. Here's a medal for you.
No one's giving you a mark out of 10 after each day.
That's it.
But usually when mine say things like that, it's followed by, and can I have? And I really love you. You're so beautiful. Can you just get that down from the cupboard?
I mean, don't get me wrong. We have a lot of that. We definitely have a lot of that. And there's a lot of arguing between me and Fred because he's very strong-willed and I'm strict. So there's a lot of arguing goes on too. So yeah, when he did say that, it really did fill my heart because as you say, you're just filled with doubt all the time. You're like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I don't actually know what I'm doing. And I constantly walk around going, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't. And then my mum will go, you do. You're doing it. You're already doing it. I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, mum. I've no clue.
And it never gets any easier either, I don't think. No. I'm still looking at my mum going, can you come and sort things out? She's nowhere to be seen. I'm like, oh, cheers, mum. I've got to do it by myself. You know, it's just a constant worry. She just says that she goes from, you know, ticking me off her worry list to then putting me back on her
putting
worry
back
list.
On.
And I know that your parents are the same, George, right? They're so sort of involved with things. But yeah, just manifest in different ways, I guess.
Absolutely. I know you listen to the podcast, Natalie, so you know the score and what we ask our guests. So have you got some products prepared?
These go from different ages as well. The Dr. Brown's bottles, those were the bottles that we used when Freddie had really terrible colic, really, really bad, and they really helped. So for any new parents out there, I would highly recommend those. They were fantastic. I loved them. And then a video monitor. That was one of my big things as well when Freddie was really little. Just having a video monitor in the crib with him rather than just a sound one. I loved that as well, just to give you that kind of reassurance. Of seeing the baby and, you know, just keep having a look. For me, I love like the Neom stuff. I'm such a huge fan of Neom. And again, when I am absolutely stressed out, there's the Neom pillow spray, which I swear by. When I go to a new hotel as well, I'm always like spraying it on the pillow just so that I get a good night's sleep.
I love
the Neom stuff. And I also have their candles as well, which I just, again, swear by.
I think I've got one on my bedside table here.
Yeah, I have. really good ones. And then there's my moisturizers and things. I love using Elemis. I've got so many of their products and their facial oils, which I love. They've got the Skin Bliss capsules, which I, again, swear by. And I've used
those.
Everybody does. Yeah. Everybody forgets about those. And then you end up going back to them and you go, oh my God, these are amazing. I remember now why I started using these. And then there's the Liz Earl Hot Cloth Cleanser.
Oh, yes. Georgia introduced me to that.
I did.
It's so good, isn't it? And especially taking your makeup off, because I don't use makeup wipes anymore. I stopped using them ages and ages ago, and especially, you know, in our jobs, kind of what, you know, constantly makeup on, makeup off, makeup on. But the hot cloth cleanser, straight off, and it smells so nice. So again, you feel like
a treat.
It's like a little spa to yourself.
Yes.
So anything that makes you like the oils that are in that, I just love it so much. But they're definitely the things that I like to take with me kind of when I'm traveling, especially. And I also take my little weights. I've got like 1 kilogram weights that I take with me as well, just so I can get my exercise in in my hotel
just
room.
A little bicep pump.
Definitely do that. Yeah,
that's perfect. And the other question that we like to ask our guests every episode is the best piece of advice that they've ever received, or the piece of advice that they would give to a new parent.
So the piece of advice that I would give to a new parent is very much like what we've talked about today, which is try and delay as much as possible kids with tech. I know it's really tempting to give them a phone or whatever when you're tired, but if you could just try not to give in as much, that will help so much later on as they grow up.
Yeah.
And I wish I'd have listened to that piece of advice, because somebody gave me that advice and I didn't really listen to it. And now I think I'm not paying the price, because I wouldn't say it's that harsh, but I wish I'd have done that differently.
Yeah.
So that is definitely what I would say.
Great. Brilliant. Love that.
Thank you.
Natalie, you've been an absolute joy to chat to you. And yeah, I mean, please come back again.
We want you back again.
I feel like we talk about anything.
It's been great. I've loved it so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Do you reckon we should check in with each other? Place a bet. What is it? The 19th of April. Every 19th of April. Let's see who managed to hold out.
Yeah, did I say that I was never going to buy them a PlayStation or any form of gaming? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, my idea on it is to just, like I said, just to prolong the process as much as possible. And Natalie was saying the same, you know, that she just wants them, you know, to be kids for as long as possible. And I think it's really important to do that whilst also being kind of streetwise. And if they want to go gaming, then go around their mate's house, quite frankly.
Yeah, exactly. Just ship them off. In fact, that's free babysitting. So it's a win-win.
Well, exactly.
In all seriousness, though, it's such an easy gift, isn't it? If you've got a kid's birthday coming up and they say, oh, I'd like a Nintendo Switch, and you think, oh yeah, why not? I don't know what to buy them. And you get that for them. I think you need to go into it knowing what comes with it, and like, you have to set boundaries, and it's not just getting that games console and then that's it. It leads to so much more.
Do you know what? I've got a mate, Jamie, who I actually do Jamie Theakston, there you go, my mate Jamie Theakston. His eldest son is massively into gaming, and it was his 14th birthday last week, and he was like, all we want to do is try and get him off his console. I said, what did you get him for his birthday? He goes, we've got him a new chair, we've got him a new headset, we've got him a new controller. And I was like, I mean, that is possibly the worst thing that you could ever do. But it's hard, isn't it? Because you want to make them happy. So, oh, God knows. I don't know.
I know. Who knows?
Who knows what the right answer is? Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. And as always, we would love you to rate. If you do have time to leave us a little review, that would be brilliant as well. And obviously, following the podcast, that means you won't miss an episode.
Yeah, please do. And if you have got any suggestions of guests that you'd like to hear from, then please do drop us a DM. We're on @MadeByMamas on Instagram. And we will be back on Friday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.